What's going on, beautiful people? This is Mr. No Excuses and my man Jay.
What's going on? What's going on?
With another episode of the Hidden Truths Podcast, where we provide therapy through conversation, restoring trust and community advocacy, one conversation at a time. What are those skeletons you've been hiding in your closet? What are those uncomfortable conversations that you need to have that may be holding you back from your progress? The more we talk about it, the more we communicate openly and honestly about it, the more we can start trusting each other. The more we start trusting each other, the more we can start building and growing with each other. So that's what we're here to talk about with the Hidden Truths Podcast. Be sure to check us out and subscribe. We're available on all social media platforms and all listening platforms. Hidden Truths Podcast. For this week's community spotlight, I'm shouting out my homegirl, Miss Rika Pesos, who has been on our podcast a few times, which y'all may remember her from there. She actually just started a podcast herself called Educated Hoodlums Podcast, which is on SoundCloud and Spotify. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but if you've listened to the episodes that Rika has been on, you already know it's going to be fire. So check her out on IG. That's how you can find the link for the podcast. It's Rika Pesos, R-I-K-A-P-E-S-O-S, and you'll see the link, Educated Hoodlums Podcast. So be sure to check her out, give her a listen, tell her we sent you. So Jay, what's the good word for today, my brother?
Podcast world. Today we got a very, very good topic today. One that probably sit on a couple hearts of ours that, you know, just living out here in this world these days, we don't have a lot of these. So we're going to talk about a topic dear to me and some others called a few good men. So we're talking about, you know, the fathers out there, you know, the father figures, people taking care of kids and, you know, doing their part in our society to make sure these kids grow up to be the great men they should be. And today we got two guests, two brothers of mine, me and Ease, very close to us. We got Devon.
Yo, what up?
Been on the podcast before. Great speaker over here. Been a brother of ours for a long time. And then we got a brother that ain't been on the podcast yet. First time. Break your cherry over there, Steven Jackson.
What it do? What it do, America?
Both these young men are father figures, some with more kids than others, but you know, we are fathers in here.
No, we're not.
Oh, excuse me.
Father figures.
No, you said we're all fathers in here.
We're all father figures. People look up to us, even if they don't have a father, if they have a father that's not in their life. You know, people can look up to these dudes, you know, and I vouch for anybody in this room right now. These are some of the greatest dudes I know. And, you know, proud for them to be a part of my life. So, you know, I'm glad to hear their story. And, you know, hopefully their story inspirates y'all as well. So we're going to start off today talking to a couple of these people. You know, Steve, since your first time in the room, let me ask you a question. I think you newly to this game, but you got a kid now, right?
Got a kid now, man. Before we get into that, though, man, I want to say that Jay mentioned us as his brothers, but, you know, I just want to let people know that we don't use that term loosely, man. That we are brothers, we truly mean that we are brothers,
that
man.
True.
Like, we support each other, we uplift each other, and we have each other's back no matter what, man.
100%.
So I just want to just get that out the way and like I say, thank you for having me on this Hidden Truth podcast, first and foremost, man. But yeah, just to answer your question, man, new father, little Morgan, 2 months old.
Beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
Little cutie.
Beautiful.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it, man.
I had to buy me a gun. Just got to
just in case, right?
Just in case.
Yeah, makes my heart jump, man, every time I see him, man. So I'm excited, man. Life is changing quickly, man. And I'm just accepting it for what it is. Looking forward to what it all has to offer, man, moving forward. So, thankful, man. Thankful, blessed.
How old is she?
2 months. 2 months. I turned 2 months last Tuesday.
Okay.
Had a first little, I guess, vaccine shots the other day, yesterday.
Broke your heart, didn't it?
Ain't break my heart, man, because I wasn't there.
I already absentee daddy.
Right.
Yeah, you defeating the purpose of the podcast.
Hey, man.
Steve.
Life is hard. She got to learn early, you know, even at 2 months old.
Daddy
got to
make this money, you know? Baby.
Daddy ain't going to be here all the time.
Daddy insurance got to pay for them shots.
Yeah, daddy insurance got to pay for them shots right there. So, wife went, my mother-in-law went with her as well. But everything went smooth. I didn't ask if Destiny if she said she had any thug tears or not, but I'm pretty sure she did.
I guarantee.
But yeah, man. I've attended other little appointments with her. Even went to like Destiny checkups when she was pregnant at the time. So just to, you know, enjoy the journey and everything and see how everything progresses along and everything. So it was cool, but like it was absent on those shots though, I can say the least. So yeah.
So now that you have a kid, it's your first child, and I don't know if you've been wanting one for a while, but what made you want a kid? Like, has this been like something in the making or just started? It just kind of happened, you know. Some people it just happens like that. So
that is definitely a good question, man. I think people like the thought and idea of having a kid, but don't never really understand what all goes into actually having a kid.
Facts.
Like I can admit, man. I say probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I was like, man, I think I'm ready to have one. But as time was progressing along, and we weren't really trying like that, I started getting, you know, comfortable with the idea of not actually having kids, because I started to understand truly if seeing my partners having kids and other people close to me having kids, like what all that included, what all that required. And I was like, man, you know what? I think I'm all right.
I.e. Devon.
I was like, nah, that's okay, man. Them kids ruining people's hopes and dreams out there. Nah, that's okay, brother. So, we wasn't trying. But when we did find out she was pregnant, I was overly excited. And I just started thinking, you know, like I look forward to experiencing those family moments. You know, having someone having my name carry on for, you know, how many years until she actually moves out there and get married and everything. Just having someone to care, nurture, to grow with, man, and see myself in some aspect. Those ideas and those thoughts, man, and those, you know, future memories that we can create, it just warms me, man. So like I said, don't really think about, you know, why I wanted kids. I have never really thought about that, but now that she's here, I can see why people decide to have kids though. So oh man,
that's dope, man. Yeah. That's dope. Well, now I'm gonna slide over here because I wanted to put this dude second because
a lot of how many kids you got? A lot.
So my boy Devon over here with all my nephews. Notice I said all nephews over here. Yeah. Now we're gonna treat you like you've been here before. So son, how many kids you got there, brother?
Three of them.
Three. House full of boys.
All boys.
Three grown boys,
three
too.
Three growing boys.
So what's my nephew's name, man? Go ahead and put him out. Do you got
Tyson.
Six.
Oldest.
No, Tyson's five.
Tyson,
right?
Five. Right. Five and a half. I guess I give him a half. Ace is a year and a half, so about 19 months.
That nigga act like
he's
12. Be cutting up.
He is definitely going on seven at least. And then my boy Kano was born like 2 weeks before Morgan was born. So Kano's almost 3 months.
Gotcha. So you know we're going to ask. This would be a good one. What made you want kids, huh?
we know part of the answer.
Besides not being able to pull out.
pull out game
weak. Pull out game is non-existent.
My couch pulls out but
couch.
I don't.
Right.
Ever since Walmart started locking up condoms in the glass case, maybe difficult to steal. So therefore,
I got to live life on the edge.
I don't even put my hands in my pockets because I got to pull them out. mine is probably slightly different from Steve's.
Slightly.
Well, in terms of why I want them, I'll say this. So, growing up, I was the oldest of three. So, I have two younger brothers. I also have a sister as well, but I didn't grow up in the household with my sister. So, I had two younger brothers who are 6 and 7 years younger than me. So, I kind of had a hand in raising them. So, I've always been a dad figure. Even as in high school and in college, I've always been like a dad figure. So I knew I was going to have kids eventually. I didn't know when, and, you know, I didn't know how many, obviously. But yeah, I knew I was gonna have kids. Tyson came unexpected. He was the result of our honeymoon, basically. So we got pregnant with him on our honeymoon. Contrary to popular belief, who thinks that he was,
we're still debating that timeline.
We're still writing out that timeline.
Yeah. Just don't match up.
Yeah.
But
whatever you say on the birth certificate, we'll go with that.
So we end up having him unexpectedly. So we had him before our first anniversary. So we jump right into having kids versus with Steve and Destiny. They've been married 6 years. Yeah. So they got married 2 weeks before we got married. So man, we got married and had kids.
Yeah, and kids around the same time. Yeah.
But
I need new friends.
Are you ready, Vaughn? No, I'm ready. Right. I'm ready. You ready to marry? You ready to have kids? I'm ready to have kids.
No,
cool.
Right.
Cool. Come on, 1, 2, 3, team.
We missed that huddle.
Right.
I'm glad I did.
But so Tyson was unexpected. Ace was planned, and then Kano was unexpected. So we only really had one plan. But
one for three ain't bad.
Well,
hey man, hey, that's 33%, yeah, man. That's above NBA average for 3-point line.
I'm about to say, if you shoot 3-pointers, it ain't that bad.
Apparently,
you know Von's favorite saying is, "You only miss the shots."
Hey, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
So, well, you made two of the ones you didn't take.
You're right. I did a Jordan with my eyes closed. Gave him the shrug.
Oh, Russell Westbrook coming out here jacking up shots out here.
I'm not gonna say that I never said I didn't want to have kids, because I knew I was gonna have them. I just didn't know I was gonna have three, y'all.
That's what's up, man. But I gotta say, man, you know, those some beautiful kids, man.
Absolutely.
I'm still waiting to see my niece, but it's gonna happen. and my nephews, man, is wild, and as they cut up, as they're at my house now. Yep. I love them boys to death, man. They, you know, they my heart too, man. I take them anytime. Love them boys to death, but they are their father's kid. Them boys is rough. They be fighting all the time.
Man. Yep.
Love it, boys.
That's how I planned it.
So let me ask, what experiences, well, Steve, I know you're new to this, but, you know, are there any experiences, you know, you can describe the experience of being a father, like maybe when it happened, or, you know, just anything from the time of birth till now, or even why, you know, it was in the womb?
Just the other day, man, she just started just throwing out, trying to talk, trying to speak. Mm. Just Google guy. Cooing. Just throwing stuff. That cooing and all that stuff, man. Like, man, that brings a smile to your face, man. You sit right there and, you know, pretend to talk to her and everything. Yeah. And just to see her interaction with her, she's smiling when she see you walk into the room and stuff like that, man, just warms your heart, man. So those experiences I enjoy now, the blowing up diapers and shitting all on my dog on leg and stuff. those experiences I can do without right now. You know what I'm saying?
Like holding the hamster.
Yeah. The other day, matter of fact, the other day we were sitting out watching TV. I had just gave her a bottle, man, and she was laying on my leg. And she makes this face when she starts to use the bath, and she starts, you know, frowning up and everything, and she stops speaking.
I do too.
Got it, my daddy, that face.
And she let out one that sounded like a grown ass woman, and I was like, oh cool, and try to continue to give it a bottle, and all of a sudden I felt some moisture on my fingertips, man. I looked down, man, yellow stuff is dripping down the side of her diaper onto my doggone hand, onto the doggone rug. So I started screaming and yelling. Destiny come running down there. She's trying to breast pump out there. She's trying to pump milk in there at the same time. Running down with a her pumping bra and everything. Like, what's going on? Girl, don't shit it on me. She's like, I know you ain't making all that dog. Oh, shit it on God. You right here.
That's
like,
hilarious.
Man, I would have paid to see that.
This is all new to me right here, man.
Stuff like that, man, truly makes me smile, man, because having been through it before, like, it's always funny to see, like first-time parents go through that, man.
Yeah,
and then also on the opposite side of that, like you say, like, when she's cooing and she's looking at you and smiling, like, I know how that feels. Mm-hmm. So to see you as my brother having that feeling, man, that makes me happy. Right
yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. And plus, you know, me and Destiny, we ain't no spring chickens, man. So I'll be 36 next month. Destiny will be 40.
Elders in the game.
Elders in the game. So we're at a point where we're pretty much cruising, we're coasting, and for you to for us or the man upstairs to throw something so big into our life all of a sudden that was unexpected and to change the whole dynamic of our relationship, man. It's been interesting, man. It's been interesting because, you, like I said, at that age, you start getting settled in your ways and everything and start getting used to certain stuff. But Morgan is, she's changing our minds. She's transforming us. She's changing things quickly for us, man. The way we think, the way we, how we interact, how we plan, how we communicate. So all that is being altered by her. And she's teaching us, you know, even though, you know, we're teaching her by, you know, reading books and doing certain things, but she's teaching us too. You know what I'm saying? She's teaching us patience, teaching us how to communicate better.
Preach.
Teaching us how to plan.
Amen.
You know, so it's learning from different areas, man. And, it's learning experience for me and Des. But like I said, we are enjoying this journey though. So, enjoying it all, man.
That's dope, man. Yo, E, so even though, you know, we can't say you're not in this picture, but actually you are, because I don't know if a lot of y'all know, but E does a lot with kids in the community and stuff like that. He does a lot of outreach and tell a little bit about what you do, E, when you know your outreach stuff.
Yeah, as far as community involvement, it's actually a partner of mine, Bomani McLaughlin. We have a mentoring program called Supreme Kings. We teach kids, primarily young black boys, elementary, middle school, and high school age, what we call the discipline of the lost arts, holistic health and fitness. So we teach them how to play chess. We have a yoga instructor that comes in and does yoga. We teach STEM activities, and me being a personal trainer, personal fitness trainer, I do a seminar or a session on health and fitness. So that's every Friday. When the school season is in, we tutor on Thursdays, and then there's one of my young kings. We call all of them kings, young kings. So one of them I get as often as I can. I try to get him every Saturday, but I work with him specifically because he was a little bit behind where he should have been academically. So now he's progressed to where he's on reading level. He's performing at the level that he should be. So, yeah, you're right, Jay. Even though I don't have my own kids, the community outreach that I do, I still experience some of those same senses of gratification from having your own, from seeing kids who, you know, because me, I'm big on fitness and health and all things like that. So it always makes me smile when they come up and they say, "Hey, I can do a push up now. Oh, I know what my biceps are. Oh, I made a smoothie the other day."
Yeah. That's the way to ease heart, if y'all don't know.
What's that?
Letting them know that you've been working out. Put a smile on that dude's face right there.
But I mean, when you look at it though, E, just that experience alone, man, the fact that you said it was something I was thinking about just now. You were saying that you try to get them at least, once Saturday, you know, every Saturday or something like that. There's a lot of kids that don't even get that from their own fathers, you know.
Right.
That could mean a lot just to one kid. I mean, thinking back to my childhood, I didn't, you know, have somebody saying, "Oh, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to teach you." Matter of fact, I don't think I did yoga until I was grown. Right? It's like, yoga? What the hell is that?
Like a few months ago?
But I mean, I appreciate, you know, and again, I know I bring this up, but that's why I'm so close to these boys. If y'all only knew what's in their hearts compared to a lot of these other people out here. There's a lot of fake people out here in this world. But these boys are so real. I mean, you got E over, he does this for the what monetary thing do you get out of this? Nothing.
No,
it's not even for the money. It's just for the love.
And that's
plain and simple. It's just for the love.
That's right. Big, man. It's just something that you don't see a lot of people doing. And I want to say for me that, man, that's big, man. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that you do that for kids out here, man. So,
and I want to say the same thing, man, because I think when E told me this originally that, you know, he's just helping out with kids, I've always kind of looked up. Me and E the same, pretty much around the same age. And I kind of admire how E moves. He moves quietly. He's consistent. And he's a straight shooter for the most part. If E disagrees with you, or he feels that you're wrong, or in a situation, he'll let you know.
Oh yeah,
and I have the much up respect for people who are like that, man.
That's true.
He doesn't sugarcoat things. He's a straight shooter. If something doesn't make sense to him, he'll let you know. He's like, hey man, you know, I hear what you're saying, but you know, from this perspective, you know, it doesn't really line, you know, with what I'm seeing or what I'm hearing. So for E, and I heard E was doing like outreach, doing some type of outreach program with the kids and just spending time with them because he doesn't have any kids. So, you know, it's got to be something in him that's motivating him to give back and uplift specifically our people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just love to see people just uplifting our people and, you know, teaching our, you know, generations that's coming up after us things that, you know, that somebody did not teach us or made us aware of. So salute to my man E for all that he does, though, man, for the culture.
Man, absolutely. Appreciate it, fellas. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to have this podcast this session specifically, because we hear so much about the negative stigmas of the absent Black father.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's so many single-parent households, which are, when we say single parent, most of the time that's a single mother raising kids.
Right.
But what we don't hear a lot about is the positive family units that we do have, the positive Black males that are doing what they're supposed to, by their doing right by their significant others, by their kids, and actually grooming a child the way they're supposed to be groomed. So that's really why we wanted to do this, to show that there are positive Black men out here that are legitimately about their family and building their family. Yeah. So, sure. You know, hats off to, you know, the brothers in here right now and all the fathers that are raising their kids the way they're supposed to. You know, even if you're not physically in the family, physically in the house, but you're still helping and contributing and still being a father figure. Because, you know, relationships don't always work out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you abandon your responsibility as a father. Yeah. So shouts out to all the fathers that are doing the thing.
I definitely agree with you on that, man. My dad was one of those guys, man. I didn't grow up with my dad in the household, and my dad lived in Jersey and I lived in South Carolina, but he was always there for me. Like I only saw my dad literally for the most part of my life. I saw my dad once a year. And while as I got older, it kind of was like, all right, well, that's the norm. I see him one time in the summer for 2 months, and then I come back here, I go to school, but I always would talk to him, you know, every week, maybe once or twice a week, sometimes even more. You know, he would send me money. My mom never had to put him on child support or anything like that. So I will say shout out to my dad, man, on being a stand-up guy, taking care of responsibility. And he was young when he had me. He was 19. Mm-hmm. But he still took care of me. He made sure that I didn't want for anything, or, you know, make sure that he provided. He tried to work things out with my mom. It didn't work out, and that's fine. But he could have easily just been like, you know what, just put me on child support and I'll just stay in Jersey, you stay in South Carolina, and we'll just do it like that. But he did. So
you say you only seen your father maybe once or twice a year sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
How often did y'all actually communicate or talk over the phone?
Probably like twice a week.
Okay. Yeah. See, I got a totally different experience than Vaughn. My father left my mother when I was young. Mother of five. My dad left when we was like in elementary school, when I was in elementary school. Saw him a little bit when he first left and everything, but that kind of slowly dissipated and fell off and everything. And also didn't really receive any phone calls and everything. It's funny that, because I was talking to E before, you know, the podcast started, that had a situation that we ran into. Come Father's Day weekend, where we got into it. That may be up for another podcast. So I don't know if we have time to go on to the details of that right now. But
I feel you. I'm sitting here thinking, if that happened to me, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
But I didn't really have a father figure like that in the household. My father figures were my mother's brothers, my uncles. So they're the ones that, and also they were military men as well. they were the ones that were called and check up on us and wish us happy birthdays and come spend time with us and, you know, take us to little minor league baseball games, you know, spend time with us, take us fishing and stuff like that. So I guess I didn't really have a individual that I can just look to of how to actually be a father from day to day. So I'm pretty much am applying day to day of how I would have wanted to be treated as a kid.
That makes sense.
To my daughter, as far as like, you know, uplifting her and being supportive of her, being there, helping out, assisting in any way I can, you know, just spending that time right there. So it's all a new experience to me. Cause I like I said, it's pretty much, I don't have any, some type of diagram or
a book.
Is the one
that Bond's writing.
but like I said, I'm learning on the job, man. I learned on the job. And one thing that I have to say though, after the situation with my father, I sat down and just started thinking, like, why does he act how he act? Why did he do what he do? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think people just make a quick decision and say, hey, I'm not going to be in my child's life.
Right.
I don't think it goes like that.
I don't
know. I think it's either what they were taught or what they experienced as a child in their upbringing. And just someone else not actually teaching them actually how to actually be a father figure or a dad. I've heard a story. I haven't really confirmed. My sister told me. She said my grandmother told. I don't know if I'm telling too much about the family right about
now. Oh, nah, man. Keep it real, man.
That's your business.
Whatever but, you got to do,
but,
man.
But she said that my father found out that my father's father left as well.
Oh, wow. I got you.
And I guess at an older age, he found out that his dad was living in the same city as he was. Mm. So he found out an address that his father was staying at, went over there. I guess his father had some other family members. I don't know if he already had other kids or he had another family, got married. I don't know what the case may be, but there's other people over there. So he went to the door, knocked on the door and said, hey, yes, I'm so-and-so. Heard that my father lives here. So his father looked around the corner, looked at him, and he just walked and ran him back in the back room. Never came back out. Damn. Never acknowledged and say, hey, I am your father. Never said, hey, I'm not your father. Did none of that.
So
right
he
there.
Didn't. So this is your father.
So my granddaddy.
Yeah, yeah.
My granddaddy. So seen him, knew what he looked like. So he seen him. Say, hey, yeah, I'm your son and everything. Say, so looked at him, walked into the back room, never said anything to him.
That's crazy.
So now it kind of like makes a little bit of sense of why he act how he act, possibly. I don't know. I'm not making an excuse because, hey, I didn't have a father figure, but I'm going to make sure I do everything what I need to do for, you know, be there for my daughter. So it's like, where all this comes from? Like, where did this stigma come from? Where did this idea that black individuals, black fathers, black male figures get this idea that, you know, it's not okay. I wouldn't say okay, but
it's the norm.
It's the norm.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're not in the household. They're not being, you know, father figures like they to their kids like they should be. Like I said, I think that it's something that is inherited and it carries on from generation to generation. But I think our particular generation is the generation that's going to break this stigma and break this cycle. And like I said, I admire all my different friends and other family members I know that are being the fathers that they need to be. So I just, like I said, I know I'm went off the deep end on right there.
Oh,
but
no, you good.
But yeah, I had a totally different perspective than Vaughn.
I will give you credit to this, though. I'll say there's two things that you're doing here. First off, you're breaking a generational curse. Mm-hmm. If your dad did it, your granddad did it, more than likely, your great-granddad probably mm-hmm. did it, too. Yeah. So for you to decide, hey, I'm not going to do this. The second thing you're doing is you're not using that as a crutch or an excuse to say, well, my dad wasn't there in my life, so I'm not going to be there. Because I've heard people that has said that, and I'm like, that sounds so stupid. Because if you know how it made you feel as a child, and you're now a broken adult because you never faced those facts or whatever, so now you're a broken adult, and you're going to do the same thing and make your seed feel the same way that you felt. Like, that never has made any sense to me.
Hurt people.
Yeah, and I would never condone anything like that, man. Like, the people or the couple of guys that I do know or did know that did that stuff, man, I had to separate myself. Like, I can't be a part of that.
I think the older generation think that, man, just because they support their family financially, that's it.
Yeah. And that's the way that they were taught, though.
Yeah.
That's the way they were taught. As long as I'm putting food on this table and a house over your head and providing, I ain't got to do nothing else. Back then, you know, most of the women, they ain't work. All they did was man the house. Well, not all they did, because that's a lot. Mm-hmm. But they manned the house. They raised the kids. They washed the dishes. They cooked. They did all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And dad was out, probably had another family across the street somewhere, down the road or whatever. Mm-hmm. My granddad did. My granddad had two other kids that my grandma didn't even know about until he died. Mm-hmm. So it happens. But that's how it was back then. It's not like that now. In most cases.
That's why I say our generation breaking that cycle, though.
But I agree with you saying, Steve, because it's not just your blood kids either. So like, your child is from you, Vaughn's kids is from him. I was lucky enough for a little guy to come into my life that's not my blood, but I don't treat him no differently because I'm in the same boat as y'all. My father wasn't there either. I mean, I think my father left. Shoot, was I in elementary? I think I was. And so, you know, me not knowing my father, going through stepfathers. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if y'all family got married again or whatnot, moms, but you know, and not having the best role models. To me, when somebody comes in my life, and it's funny because I would think that because that's not my blood, I'm not going to treat them that way. Mentally, my mind doesn't let me do it. It's like, yo, this is somebody looks up to you. Like, it's a funny thing. We go do sports together. Try my best to put them in sports. I wasn't in sports. Mm-hmm. You know, at a young age, I didn't have somebody like, yo, you got soccer practice today. You going. You got football practice today. You going. I didn't have that. So it's interesting. You'll be at a game or something. And Bonner vouch for this one. You'll get there soon, Steve, at this age. But when they score a goal, they do something. They look at you like, I'm good.
Look at you for validation.
Yeah.
I'm good. Keep going hard work. So it's one of the things where even if it's not your blood, and this is where I agree with you, Steve, in our age group and the millennials now, we still look out for the ones looking up for us.
Yeah.
No matter what. And it's interesting because even my brothers here treat somebody that's not my blood just like it was. Like, if I take him over to Vaughn's house or Vaughn's around him, no different. He ain't going to treat him no different like y'all wouldn't treat him no different. So to find people that still treat other people's kids like their own is something that, you know, I think other generations aren't used to.
I think that's pretty dope.
And I tell you something that's real beautiful about, you know, what we just said here. We got four brothers sitting at the table right now, all who have experienced in some form or fashion an absentee father.
Yes.
Like my father, he left, and if y'all have been listening to the podcast for a while, you know, I talk about this a lot, and by no means is it to downplay my father, because even though he left the house, he was never what you would truly call an absentee father. He wasn't physically in the house, but he was still providing. He would still come down and see me. He would still call and check on me and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, you know, it's that similar story to where you have a father physically leave the family. And, you know, people do it for various reasons. I'm not going to get off into that tangent. But the beautiful thing is, despite all four of us going through a similar story with our fathers, all four of us are still prime examples of what it takes to be a father and or father figure.
Yep. Right. That's totally agree.
And so a lot of times, going back to what you say, Yvonne, people too often use that as a crutch to where my father left, so this is my excuse to why I can't be a good father. No, that's a decision.
Right.
And if you know that you have some hurt, then seek help for that. You know, get that out. And it may take a while to do, but at some point you have to put that crutch down and not let that be an enabler for, or I guess a disabler for you not being there for your kids, because it creates that generational pattern. So I'm always you know, proud of the black males that I come across, you know, specifically my brothers in here, but anyone else that is doing their thing to truly raise their kids the way they're supposed to be, because it can easily go the opposite direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just a question for all of y'all. You included, what are y'all biggest fears being in the roles y'all are playing with these young people in your lives? But like, what is your biggest fear with being in front of these kids, or having your days, you know, trying to, you know, mentor and be there for a kid? Steve, what is your biggest fear with Morgan, you know, her watching your every move, even at an early stage? D, you know, three of your kids watching, you got, I'm sorry, my math about to be so tight.
six pair of eyes.
Yeah, six pair of eyes watching over here.
Hey, like three divided by.
Three pair of eyes. My math's all jacked up.
Care to
yeah,
one.
I had to stop. You know, when you get so many kids, it's like, shit. You got so many kids, you be like, your name is, you know what?
One of them got a lazy eye, so that's half.
But what are y'all biggest fears with?
So I'll keep mine very brief. One of my, I won't necessarily call it a fear, but more of a concern, is that because I'm not in their household and not around them 24/7, that the time that I do spend with them a lot of times gets overpowered by a lot of the negative influences that they're around. Now, some of them do have a solid foundation, solid family structure, but a lot of them that I work with don't. So that's one of my biggest concerns, is that, okay, I'm teaching you the things that you need to be taught, but you're going right back into an environment of craziness. So I look at the long-term effect on, you know, how is that going to play out? Is the positive going to outweigh the negative? Mm-hmm. And that would be one of my biggest concerns. What about you, Steve?
For me, I think my biggest...
You got a girl.
Yeah, I know. Woo. Man. I know. But that part of it hasn't really even crept in yet. I think what's my biggest concern is giving her the tools to be successful in this America. Just being able to give her a nice start to her life that I wasn't given, or we as a culture haven't really gave the generations that follow us to start off with. Because for us as black people, we were already behind the eight ball anyhow, mm-hmm. because of the systemic oppression that's been put into place to limit, you know, our abilities of how we need to move to be successful in America. Right. So I guess my biggest concern is just setting her up to be financially able to either get her an education that she doesn't have to take out student loans for.
Jesus.
Giving her some financial stability where she can do a startup business if she would like to. Being able to pay off her debt or any type of, you know, expenses that we leave behind once we leave this world. Not having to worry about, you know, taking care of our debt and everything. So
right.
I think that's right now is my main focus right now, and just pretty much preparing her, setting her up to possibly have a free education to be able to go to school. Because like I said, being from a single parent home, man, like that wasn't really pushed in my household because my mom was too busy working. You know, you got five kids, you working 2-3 jobs at a time. You just trying to make it through from hour to hour. You're not really pushing, you know, the narrative of, hey, you know, education, get a good job, you know, head in those books and everything. You're not. So I think just setting her up for success, man, to be successful in the world. And like I said, like Mon briefly mentioned, I have a female, so that's not even taking all the other things when it comes to men and right. possibly yes, yeah, going down right. that right path and not swinging from that pole, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, but I'm pretty sure all that's going to come. But for right now, like I said,
well, hopefully not a pole. Hopefully not
the pole is not down in the future. Keeping her off the pole. So, hey, but yeah, man. But that's just my main focus right about now. Though. Yeah.
Before you answer this, D, I gotta ask you something, Steve, real quick. And not to get too much in your bit, but do you have student loans?
I do have student loans.
You know what's interesting about what you just said?
What's that?
You just said that you're in a point in your life where you're setting your daughter up where she doesn't have to pay student loans while you're paying your own student loans.
I know.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. The world we live
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
We're paying off our student loans while we're setting up our kids so they don't have to pay student loans.
Basically.
This is crazy. Basically.
But yeah. I fall in that same category as far as that, setting up my boys. Tyson has his account, Ace has an account, and I got to set up Kano an account as well. And so just trying to make sure that I'm providing for them financially for the future, because it's going to be here before we know it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before we know it, we're going to be looking at some teenagers getting ready to go to college or whatever else mm-hmm. they're going to be doing. Mine is a little bit different because I have three boys. So I'm raising three black boys that's going to become three black men. In this society right now, I don't know how the society is going to be in another 15 years, but right now it still isn't the best of societies for black men.
It's not.
For me to have that responsibility and pressure, because it is a little pressure, to raise these boys to become A, distinguished gentlemen, B, men who aren't afraid to speak their mind, and also men who have integrity. Mm-hmm. Forget all the other stuff, the sports and all the other stuff that comes with it. They're naturally talented. So they're going to be naturally athletic and stuff like that. I want to work on discipline. I want to work on education, and not school education, not the system from the 1930s that they still use.
Yes.
I'm talking about educating them on who our people are, who were our forefathers. You know, teaching them to be handy with their hands. I work with my hands a lot. That's not my profession, but my side hustles, I work with my hands.
Boy, so, if y'all want a stove or a washer fixed, call that boy.
Yeah, if you need a TV mounted.
A TV mounted, you need a dryer fix. But I pride myself in learning it, because I'm not gonna sit up here and say I'm not a professional, but I'm like highly educated in doing all that stuff. Like, I don't have any professional training in it. I teach myself how to do that stuff. Like, I fixed Jamie's dryer. I taught myself how to do it. So it, but I also take pride in when Tyson comes over. Tyson's my oldest son. When he come over and he's five, and he's like, "Daddy, can I watch you do it?" Absolutely, son. Like, I'll never say no. You can't watch me do it. Like, absolutely. Watch how Daddy does this. Watch how Daddy changes this tire. Watch how Daddy fix this sink. Watch how I do this stuff. Like, know your tools. Like, I teach him what a hammer is, what a wrench is, what a screwdriver is, what a flathead, Phillip. Like, I teach him these things that may seem small now, but when he gets older, he's been seeing this all his life, so it's not going to be foreign to him. If he has a girlfriend at the time, then he has to fix it. Or, Lord forbid, something happens to me and something breaks in the house, Jen don't have to call anybody. She don't, you know what I'm saying? He knows how to do it. Or Ace or Kano, you know what I'm saying? Recently, I taught him how to tie a shoe last week. That gave me like some of the greatest satisfaction that I've had, man. Like, just to know that he took because at first he didn't want to do it. But I took the time with him. I had the patience with him, which is rare for me to have patience, even though I got three kids. But I had the patience with him for him to learn. And he learned in, like, you know, we worked for 2 days, and we worked for maybe about 15 minutes each day. And he learned how to tie his shoes just like that. And so he got up on that third day and put his shoes on and tied both his shoes. And he was like, "Daddy, look." Like this, the excitement on his face brought me more excitement. And I was just like, "Yeah, buddy, that's what I'm talking about." Like,
you was acting like the Cowboys just won.
Absolutely. I'm like, "Man, listen, I'm posting on Facebook like
my son know how to tie his shoes now. My boy can tie his shoes.
He know how to tie his shoes. I'm telling you.
Look, he did it. He's doing it right now. Do it again.
Do it again.
So, I mean, just that whole dynamic, man, like I absolutely want to make sure that the legacy I leave for them is nothing short of phenomenal, and that Dad did everything that he could to teach me how to be a man in today's society.
I think that's dope, man, because a lot of times I even find myself doing it, and it's something that I need to work on. A lot of times when your kids come to you or get, you know, in your way, sometimes you be like, "Hey, go ahead now, I got to do this." But right. You're right. You know, they're gonna watch you so closely. That's how they're gonna learn.
Right.
So, like, even with E, if E's teaching somebody something, you know, it's better for him to say, hey, come watch this. Let me show you, you know, so you can do it correctly and stuff like that. It's just a lot to it, man, that you may not think of because you're not thinking that, wow, this little person's watching me and, you know, I need to guide them through those steps. So,
and a lot of things that is applicable to life and how you move. None of that is pretty much learned in actual school systems.
Not at all.
How to be successful in life is not learning in the school system.
Went to my school.
And this is a conversation that we've been having recently, actually, in our household and everything. So I'm kind of complete opposite of Vaughn. I'm not very handy. I'm not good with my hands. So therefore, I pound the pavement to make as much money as possible to get somebody else to come in and do it.
Go look it up. Let's call somebody.
And do it for me. So that's why I like I said, I'll also be pushing that narrative with Morgan, like, always pound the pavement. Never get content. Always try to find a way to better yourself. Always find a way to separate yourself from other candidates, other individuals. Oh, and never give them a reason to tell you no. So put yourself in a position where you are the leading candidate. Your qualifications say, hey, I am the person for this job.
Right.
I am the person for this. Or put yourself in a position where you are the business owner. You are the head honcho. So, and especially for, it's already difficult for us as Black people, you know, as a culture, but it's even more difficult specifically for Black women in corporate America. So, like I said, that will be the narrative I push to my daughter. But like I said, with totally different. I would like to know how to do a trade. I would like to be handy with my hands. But like I said, that goes back to what I just said before, not having a father figure in the household. So therefore, hey, there was nobody to actually teach me those things.
But at the same time, I will say, and I would challenge you to, if something breaks around the house, try to look at it first and see what's going on. Because he'll tell you. I'll pull up YouTube in a minute and be like, all right, how's he doing this? All right, I don't know how to fix the garbage disposal, mm-hmm. but let me see what they're doing. All right, so you take this screw out, unplug this, unhook this. Mm-hmm. All right, so then that means that I just got to put all that stuff back together. And, like, I just visualize it. And, I mean, granted, I have a photographic memory, so that helps too. But you got a phone, just take a picture of it so that way you know how it looks when it's back together. You can kind of gauge it. Like, I would challenge you, just try something. That's what I did. I wasn't afraid to try it. Like, I was like, worst case scenario, I can't do it, and I got to call somebody
anyway.
But I'll at least try. I've saved so much money. He tell you, like, I fixed, he had his, he got a dryer from his brother, before, and it was a front loader.
Before he even say that, it's no point in him going into how much stuff he done fixed at my house. We're talking about TVs, and we put up curtains. Come on now. It ain't no
point. But I was going to say, like, I fixed the heating element on my dryer. At the time, which was a top loader. He got fancy and went to the front loader. So I didn't know anything about it, but I was like, all right, well, let's YouTube it. So
apparently it wasn't that fancy. It broke down.
So does fixing things give you self-fulfillment?
It doesn't give me self-fulfillment.
It gives him more money, but
well, it does. it does do that. It does give me satisfaction. And it's kind of like a release. It's like something that if I'm fixing something, I'm working, I'm just concentrating, like I'm in my own element. Mm-hmm. And I like being in my own element, especially when I got so many other people in my element at home. So when I could go in the bathroom and change out my faucet or change the toilet out, and that's my haven. You know what I'm saying?
Did you not hear Steve say? He work a lot, so he ain't got to do that.
The time I spend looking at YouTube trying to figure it out, possibly fixing it, possibly,
that's true.
And then probably ultimately actually calling somebody. That's time that I done spent and wasted that I could have been productive and doing something else. But nothing wrong with you know your thinking on that, because that's something that you probably get satisfaction out of, you actually enjoy doing,
right?
And you know, saves you money or do whatever. You have three kids,
right?
So I mean, I'm not in your pockets or nothing, but I'm pretty sure you have more you have more expenses than I do.
Damn sure.
So
do.
Therefore, I have more money to blow. Sorry. It's like, yo, I'd rather pay somebody to do this job right here. I ain't wasting my time.
Steve, if I'm hearing you, man, you like, all right, Morgan, make sure you can make enough money to where you can pay somebody to
do this. That's my thing. But understand the, you know, value of hard work.
Right, right.
And discipline. Not giving up. Not taking no for an answer. So understand those things as well. So I'm not raising no silver spoon, you know, woman in that she just get things handed to her. I definitely don't want that shit. I didn't even want that as a woman, you know, I mean, as a partner in my life. So I don't want her to be raised that way either. So I'm just understanding both. Understand the value of a dollar.
Also,
understanding hard work.
I think before you go, let me say that I'll say this also, and you'll eventually see as Morgan gets older, things will start to change and things will start to shift. So what we're saying now could ultimately shift in 4, 5, 6 years, and not the core values part. Of course, you want to instill core values in your children, and you want to continue that installation process throughout their rearing. But some of that stuff will alter, change how you see it, your patience level. Your patience hasn't been tested yet. Mm-hmm. It'll be tested, so it'll change. Like, I thought I had a decent amount of patience, but nah, that changed whenever my son turned 5, and then I added 2 more kids.
Well, I'm going to just say I don't have patience and me
you
working
don't have
with
kids, so you good.
I don't have kids, and me working with kids reinforces my lack of patience.
I think you got more patience than you think, E.
Hey, that's why I keep them for an hour and give them back. That's my patience right there.
Well, look, guys, we come to the end of this session, man, but I got to say it was – as always, fire talking to y'all boys. Love the convo. And before we leave, y'all can leave us with one. I'm gonna give you two questions. Just answer one. What is one thing you would want your kids to learn, or one thing you'll want to leave your kids with? What would it be?
I'll go ahead and start off. Financial independence.
That's such a great
one. Period.
Gotcha. What about you, Steve?
Mine's will be hard work and dedication.
Took mine. Okay, I'll take that.
Commit to something, stay with it until see it through.
I just say being consistent. Consistency. If you're gonna do something, and you said you're gonna do it, do it. Be a man about it. My granddad always taught me to be a man about what you say you're gonna do and do it.
I would say the one I probably say the worst is just, don't live your dream. Make sure you live your dream. If you have something you dream you want to do and think you can do, do it. Just try it. At the end of the day, it don't hurt to try.
Yes.
That's you can live your dream and somebody else will be living it.
Yeah. Or you be working to make
your
dream. Or
you be working to help them build their dream.
So as always, we appreciate everybody being a guest on the show. Shouts out to my brothers for joining us today.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Steve as well. We gave him a shout out a few weeks ago. I don't think we've dropped that podcast yet, but Steve has a online cigar company, Fort Mill Cigar Society. So for my cigar connoisseurs, if you want to experience some cigars that you never tried before,
give a shout out real quick.
Yeah, check us out. Fort Mill Cigar Society, FortMillCigarSociety.com. Check us out. Premium cigars at a low discounted rate. So check us out all online. Ship it directly to your doorstep. We run certain specials. Have free shipping certain times of the month. So check us out.
Got an Instagram page, anything like that too?
Fort Mill Cigar Society.
Okay.
Yep. Facebook, Fort Mill Cigar Society.
Gotcha.
All the above.
The above.
And then Von, if somebody need to get a flat tire fix, need a carburetor change, something like that.
I don't do carburetors.
I do radiators, but I don't do carburetor.
But I will fix your toilet, mount your TV, and fix your dryer.
So how can somebody get in contact with you for those services, my brother?
You can reach me on IG at Vaughn_Tuff. That's VON_TUFF. And also on Facebook, I'm Devon Heath. We also have a podcast with my wife and I. It's called Chameleon Love. You can hit us up on IG at Chameleon Love Podcast. And also check us out. We're on everywhere you can find a podcast. We're on there at Chameleon Love. So, yeah.
Great podcast.
Yes, sir. You go ahead and send us out, E.
Yeah, as always, we appreciate everybody that's been listening to us, rocking with us so far. We are coming up close to 40 episodes deep. So shouts out to everybody that's been listening to us. If you would ever like to be a guest on the show, or if you have ideas for topics, feel free to shout us out. Send us a DM on IG, Hidden Truths Podcast, or send us an email, thehiddentruthspodcast@gmail.com. Appreciate the convo today. My brother's very uplifting and inspirational. Indeed. So hopefully,
yeah, that was good.
Whenever people hear this, it'll motivate you to, you know, if you don't have kids on your own, I'm not saying you have to go out and have them, but, you know, find somebody that you can mentor, because there's a lot of kids that are in need of those services, and you'd be surprised the impact that it makes. So as always, kings and queens, stay up, we out.